Now, do you remember this voice from last week? Baha Dutt and her snake charmers.
They were very unfriendly. It's a male-dominated profession, and the fact that here was this woman walking in asking them all these questions about their profession, it's also a very scared community. These are people who've had raids conducted against them by animal activists, by the Forest Department, which enforces wildlife conservation laws in India. So they're extremely suspicious of outsiders. So when I used to first go, I remember they'd put snakes in my bag to drive me away. So,
what did you do?
I was scared. I was very scared. And, you know, they defanged the snakes. I didn't know that. So as far as I was concerned, here was a bunch of venomous snakes in my bag. So,
but without teeth, you were safe?
Yes, I was safe. Yeah. I didn't know that at that time. That was the only problem.
Well, I wonder what health and safety would have to say about that. Baha Dutt, now a journalist, got over her scare and persisted.
So I worked with these people for 7 years, and I have to say I learned a lot. I was all of 24, 25 when I started out, and gradually I started going out into the interiors, into villages. This is a community which is spread across northern India. There are 200,000 of them. So what is the future of this community if there's a law, you know, banning their traditional occupation? That's what I was trying to find out.
Did they tell you any of their secrets, how they charm the snakes and what it's for?
Yes, they did. They have many secrets which they don't let outsiders in on. But I also wanted to document their traditional knowledge, because there's this sort of preconceived notion that because they're an indigenous community, they don't know much science. But what we've actually found was that there is a lot of science they follow. And I used to go with them on their, when they used to go out to hunt the snakes. And for every species, they look into the behavior. They know what is the micro habitat in which that species is found. They know that when it's winter, they need to make sure that the snake is warm. So there is a lot of traditional knowledge. And that's when I said, hey, we need to tap into this knowledge and see if we can use that for the conservation of snakes.
By the way, what sort of species did they have, roughly?
This is everything from king cobras to pythons. The cobra, we found, was most often used by them, because the cobra also has a hood which flares up when they're doing the snake performance.
How do they actually get the snake to do what they want? Because they're not necessarily the brainiest creatures in the world.
You know, if you notice at the end of the flute, there's a long stick. So what they're actually just doing is, the snake is in a self-defense posture, and all that they're doing is, obviously the snake's not responding to the music, but to the movement. Most animal activists would say that that's cruelty, and you know, what you're doing is actually making the animal very stressed out. But I think that's debatable, and I have to say that this project was challenging for me, because do you look at the snake charmers or do you look at the snakes? For me, the challenge was, as entities, both of them are doing badly. Some of them, this is an old tradition in the community, after they had used a snake for 2 months or so in their performances, would release the snake back in the wild. So that's an extremely sustainable way to go about your occupation. This practice has now died, which is why animal activists are extremely suspicious of this community.
So the law changed and the snake charmers lost their profession, if you like.
Yes.
What's happened since?
A lot. There's a number of things we've been trying to do with them. So we came up with the concept of snake educators, which is basically saying that here is a people who knows a lot about snakes. Can we use that? Can these people go out to schools and zoos, and can they be like extension workers teaching people about snakes? Because in India we have snakes all over the place. We even tried to start a service in Delhi. It's called Dial a Snake Charmer Service, which is basically you call up a snake charmer and say, there's a snake in my house, can you come and rescue it? So it's very similar to what, say, an animal welfare person would do. So why not pay these guys to do the same? They're using their traditional skills. They have a sense of identity with the snakes. They don't want to go out and become a driver or, you know, a teacher. That link to snakes is very strong for them. So we keep that going, and we also get them some income. The second idea we worked on is we formed a musical band, because what we found was their music was very strong. So we formed a musical band called 100 Charmers. And they've now performed all over the world. They've performed in Italy, they've performed in the UK, and they still perform all across India at, you know, people's weddings. We use a lot of music at our Indian weddings. So these guys go out and perform, and they're paid for it. So this is the balance which I've been trying to achieve between wildlife conservation and livelihoods. And as I was doing this project, I had people write to me from Egypt, from other parts of Asia, saying they also had snake charming traditions. So this is not something which is confined to India. It was found in many developing countries across the world.
Bahar Dutt is environment editor at Network 18 in Uttar Pradesh in India.